coming to here in Castle today like a copy of God's Word, New Testament of the Bible, in its entirety offered to you quite freely without any cost or obligation to you. If you'd like one, feel free to come and ask for one. God's written Word, and of course, well, has the ability, as it itself says, you know, to make a body wise unto salvation, impart the wisdom of God. That is not the wisdom of this world, of course, but God's wisdom, you know, that leads to salvation, leads to forgiveness, and of course all the wonderful and glorious blessings that come with God's salvation, peace with God and peace within, and joy unspeakable, hope that doesn't disappoint. All these commodities, of course, that the wisdom of this world does not give you, cannot give you, and never will. You look there, nothing but hopelessness and despair. But you look into God's Word, and you know, but maybe He'll cause the light to shine into your heart and your mind and reveal the knowledge of Himself to you. And I see that the Bible is that the Word of God. What is the Word of God? Good question. You might ask that question yourself. If you were of a mind to, there's different ways, of course, in which we put it. Sometimes we refer to the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. It's the Book of the Covenant. It's all one. It's God's written Word that He has given to us. The most precious, I tell you, and wonderful gift of all that God has given to us and has given to us for a very, very long time now, His precious Word, in order that we might find salvation and that we might have the hope of eternal life and not live as many do in this day and generation, and especially in the circumstances in which we find ourselves, for all kinds of different reasons, living in despair and hopelessness. And I'm told, I don't know if it's true, but I'm told that there are even many people, young and old, who are taking their own lives in that self-same despair. Well, of course, to live that way, of course, is, well, the bottom line would be, you know, just plain, simple unbelief. But of course, that there is a God, well, we won't go there because you have that knowledge already. You know that God is. Everybody does. God says so. And I'll take His Word over yours or anybody else's, first of all. He says, God says, that everybody born into this world has an innate knowledge of God, of His existence. And of course, He says that because of, well, the light of nature within you, that innate knowledge of God within you, and because of all the works of God in creation, His providing, His preservation, and the governance of the universe, the world, and everything in it. You know that God is, and therefore, says God, you are without excuse. But of course, in order for a body to come to a saving knowledge, that is, brought into a right and proper relationship with God, that is, having known the forgiveness of their sinful and wicked unbelief, having turned, that is, from such and turned in faith to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, reconciled to God, that is. Well, that person, of course, well, has the blessings of God, that hope, that joy, and that peace of which I have already spoken. The Word of God is essential for this, you see. You look around you. You look at your neighbor. You look at yourself in the mirror. And you know that there is a God. You could not breathe if there was not. You could not even have a meaningful thought if there was no God. In Him you live and move and have your being. But in order to come to an intimate knowledge of God, well, you need the Word of God for that. The Word that He, God Himself, has spoken, revealing Himself to us. We call them, otherwise we call it the Holy Scriptures. Holy writings, that is. Holy, why? Because, well, they come from a holy God. He's described in the Bible, don't you know, this is what the Bible is in part, a revelation of God. You might pose yet another question. You might say, well, how can I possibly know somebody intimately in relational terms, you know, who is invisible? That's impossible. No, it's not. No, no, my friends. We have a revelation from God, you see, telling us exactly what God is like. And before anything else, well, He's holy. Everything about you, you know, He's wise, He's powerful, He's good, He's just, and all that and more. But of course, it's all crowned with holiness. He is what you are not, holy. And of course, well, the Bible does say, you know, that, well, without holiness, no man or woman shall see the Lord. And maybe, perhaps, that's a reason, one reason at least anyway, why you can't see Him. Why He remains invisible to you. Because of your unholy state and condition. This is the condition, you see, that we come into the world, don't you know? You are, says God, conceived in sin. That's where your sin career began. That's where all your wickedness and all your trouble began. At the moment of conception in your mother's womb, you are conceived in sin. And then 9 months later, you were born in the same, in sin. And of course, you've lived all your days since then, in sin, wallowing in the mire of unholiness, unrighteousness, ungodliness, sin, in other words. And so therefore estranged, that is alienated from God, as a result of your iniquities. Without holiness, without God makes you holy. This is why, you see, you need the Word of God. It's why you need the Holy Scriptures, revealing to you the holiness of God and the holiness that He requires of you. And how, of course, you can get out of the mess of your sinful nature in which sin is entrenched. How you can be fetched out of it and into a state and condition of holiness in which you can at last see, perceive God, that is, and of course live in enjoyment of Him. So they're called, the Scriptures are called holy because they come to us from a holy God. And of course everything in them that God sets before us in the Holy Scriptures are themselves holy, holy teachings, you know. And maybe you see again, because of your poor state and condition, you know, your poverty of mind, you know, you're unable to reason, rationalize, well, in the way you see that, well, you are made to, you know, to think, you know, not just, well, like automatons, you know, just accept, you know, like you do at the dinner table, just accept what's put before you. A mess of evolution, maybe. Or a mess of false religion, perhaps, you know. But you live in a very gullible age, don't you know? You live in a very age that's poverty-stricken in mind, you know. Inability to think and rationalize, you know, like a rational creature should do, you know. You just accept everything that's put before you, you know. You don't question things the way, well, previous generations would have done. But of course, well, the Bible, I say, the Holy Scriptures, holy teaching, you know, everything about it is holy, you know. And of course, begins by, well, questioning your unholiness, you know. that natural state and condition, you know, from which comes all your fornicating and all your drug abuse and all your drunken and all your filth and uncleanness that pervades your generation. It's where it comes from, out of the sink of your natures, young men. You need to be born again, boys. Boys, you need to be born again. It's the only way, except a man be born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. So, holy teachings, you know, that if they're embraced, you know, if they're imbibed, I tell you, make you holy. What God gave them to us for. That if they're accepted, if you accept, if you receive the engrafted word, the Bible says, the Holy Scriptures say, the engrafted word that is able to save your soul, to save your soul from that unholiness. Because the end of your unholiness, you see, is not just a bad day like you're maybe having today, and not even just a bad life. The end of your unholiness, my friends, is the damnation of hell. A lost eternity, you know. This life isn't just all that there is to it. Not a case of living and dying and finito, that's it, end of story, black hole, nobody knows. No, it is appointed unto man once to die, whether you be young or old. Once to die. After that comes what? Huh? End of story, you see. No, that's your unholiness again, you see. No, after this then comes the judgment. Then you stand before a holy God in your unholy state and condition and be dismissed from His presence for all eternity. Lost, my friends, damned, worthy now, but then to be damned forevermore. Without that is you're made holy. Without that is Jesus Christ makes you holy. Without that is you're born again. Without that is you are brought to repentance, turning from your sin. Without that is you are brought to faith in Jesus Christ, receiving, as I say, the engrafted word that is able, has the ability to do what you can't do for yourself, and what the Pope can't do for you, Muhammad can't do for you, or any other religious guru. Only Jesus, only the mighty Son of God can save you from your unholiness. And so for that you need the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. That's what the Word of God is, the Holy Scriptures. So when we speak about the Word of God, I mean literally, the Word of God, God spoken. If I were to give you a Bible, well, if I offer them to you quite freely, were you to take it home and open the pages and sit there and read them, you are receiving the very Word of God, just as though God were speaking to you out of heaven. So my friends, you see, the Word of God, it's the literal, it's the very Word of God. Some people, they say, why doesn't God give me a sign? He's given you one, a Bible, the Word of God. You know, and some people say, well, God spoke to me with a voice, you know, from heaven. No, you'll wait till the cows come home. No, you'll wait till you're lost in eternity if you wait for that. God does not speak in that way anymore. The Bible tells us, you know, that in previous days, God did speak that way. Dreams, visions, and so on. Prophecies. But in these last days, the Bible tells us, my friends, God has spoken to us fully and finally by His Son, Jesus Christ. But you see here, in the Bible, you have the Word of God. The Word of Jesus, that is, for He is God, manifest in the flesh. So are you to take the Bible home with you and read, you are reading, would be reading the very, very Word of God. It's the Book of the Covenant, because it includes God's holy, holy, holy law. You know the Ten Commandments, I'm sure you've heard something of them. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Not the God of Islam, Not the God of the Pope of Rome, but the God of the Bible, my friends. Only one, true and living God. The one who made you, gave you a being, and the one, my friends, who will one day bring you to judgment. That God, my friends, that God, He speaks in His Word, and He speaks His law word to men and women. I would say especially in this day and generation, with all your wickedness, you know. Say, for instance, thou shalt not commit adultery. Yeah? That excludes your fornicating, young men. Yeah? That includes your sleeping with young women and women with young men outside of matrimony. That excludes all the perversions of your day and generation. Sodomy and lesbianism. All the uncleanness that pervades your society today. Oh, God has a word for you from His Book of the Covenant. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And then, you know, other commandments like that. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill, whether by means of abortion. There's another one that God would speak to you today in this, your modern, filthy, murdering society. Thou shalt not kill, He said. So, the young woman, young mother who would take her child to the National Health Service to be killed, to be slaughtered in the name of abortion, God says, thou shalt not. Then, of course, well, by means of euthanasia, drugs and violence, anything, any means by which you can take another human being's life is forbidden by God. God's holy law, the Book of the Covenant, He commands. But of course, ultimately, He commands of you today that of repentance and faith towards His Son, Jesus Christ. That is as much a commandment as thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not steal, or thou shalt not commit adultery. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That too is a holy commandment that God demands of you even today. And then, of course, well, you know, some people say, well, yeah, the Bible, you know, it contains the Word of God. Some of it, God's Word, but not all of it. And so they think, you know, that they can pick and choose. Cherry pick, you know, that they can, you know, like a salad, you know, just have the bits that you want and leave behind the bits you don't. No. It doesn't work that way. It does not just contain the Word of God. It is in its entirety, from cover to cover, generation, Genesis to Revelation. All of it, my friends, beginning to end, is all the Word of God and speaks to you today, even as I am speaking to you today. God speaks to you from and through His holy, divine Scriptures, the Word of God. That's what we mean when we say the Word of God. But then, of course, it's the rule of God. It reveals to you the will of God. Maybe perhaps somebody would know what the will of God is for their life, you know, today. Maybe some guidance. Maybe perhaps your conduct, and maybe perhaps you would know what God is requiring of you, what His will for you is. Well, there's only one place you'll find it, and that's in the Word of God. Nowhere else, my friend. It includes what man is to believe unto salvation, the way by which a man or woman can be saved. Now, you can go to the Pope, but there's no hope in the Pope. You can go to Muhammad, but he's a dead prophet. Here we have a living Savior, the living God who speaks to us out of His living Word, and speaks to us the living Word, Word of salvation, and tells us, you see, declares what it is, what He requires you to believe. Not what you think in your heart, you know. Some people will tell you that today, you know. Hey, man, just go with your heart, you know. Hey, that's the worst thing you could do. You could not be given worse advice than that. You know why? Because the Word of God says, your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Not even you, unless God reveals that to you. But, my friends, you cannot trust your heart. Your heart's the worst thing that you could possibly put your trust in. Or your mind, you know, your mind could take you anywhere. Doesn't it do that sometimes? No, my friends, only one place to go if you would know the will of God. One place to go if you would know what it is that God requires you to believe in order that you might receive His salvation. And if I might put it just in one sentence for now, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the command too. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. A true and a living faith, you see, a faith imposed, a faith, you know, infused into you by God, given to you. Not your acting, but God's acting, infusing faith into you, so that you are united to Jesus Christ in Christ before you do anything else. So you see, it's all here in God's Word. You know, it's very instructive, very helpful for those who read it, digest, meditate upon it, and of course for those ultimately who believe it. But then of course, the Bible does make it clear God takes a very dim view of those who teach otherwise. You know, like the Pope of Rome and his henchmen, you know, in their local priestcraft, you know. They'll tell you that you can be saved by being a good person. You can get right with God by following their evil and wicked dictates. That you can be saved. Yes, you've got to believe, they'll tell you. But, you know, do some good too. Kiss the Pope's feet and you'll be okay. No, you won't. It's unlawful to teach otherwise than what God teaches in His Holy Word. Why? Oh, because you see, that leads men and women to damnation. That leads them to the pit of hell. And God would have otherwise. He would have you to repent and believe the gospel. That's His command. He would have you to believe His Word in its entirety. And then, of course, while you get many other sects, like the sect of Rome, you've got Muhammad's crowd, you've got the Watchtower Society, you've got 9,900 of them. Take your pick, anyone you like, but no salvation in them. Not to be found, my friend. Not one iota, not one ounce of salvation outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Outside of what God has revealed in His Holy Word. And of course it's this, the Word of God, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, that regulates a person who has believed, regulates their faith, you see. What we believe, you know, according to God's Word. That is not what the state says. That is not what they legislate for. What does the Bible say? That's what matters. Doesn't matter what the university professor said, the schoolmaster. What does God say? You know? The state, the government, the world will tell you about evolution and all other kinds of nonsense. They'll tell you, you know, that they'll tell you that it's scientific provable when it's not, you know. There's not an ounce of scientific justification for it. None whatsoever, my friend. Not true science, anyway. No, my friend. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is not what anybody says, Darwin, Dawkins, or any other fool, I say, not atheist, fool, because God says it's the fool who says in his heart there is no God. And of course, well, the state, the government now legislates for same-sex marriage and other perversions too. But God condemns such. So you see, we don't go with such as that. We don't follow such as that. The Word of God regulates our faith, what we believe. And what God has spoken is what we believe and what we act upon. Not anybody else. You see, Jesus says, my sheep, they hear my voice. Here in the Word of God, and they follow me. That is, they obey my word. Yeah? They don't follow the dictates of modern scientism. They don't follow the voice of the cults and sects, the popes and the Mohammeds. They don't follow the false teachers. They follow Jesus. And he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. So you see, if you're not to perish, well, you must needs believe. And believe God's word in its entirety, all of it, my friend, from beginning to end, or you cannot be saved. If you still have disagreements with God's word, what the Bible teaches, well, you're still in trouble with God. You're still out of sorts. You're still alienated. You must come to that place, be brought to that place, even of agreeing. Can two walk together, lest they agree with one another? How can you walk with God if you disagree with Him? Not possible. But God alone, of course, can bring you to that place. But another reason for what the Bible was given for, in order that you might come to faith in Jesus Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Can men and women come to be born again? Can men and women come to be saved? They hear the message of salvation. Not everybody. Not everybody. God has chosen His own people, you see. He never intended for all to be saved. Only those whom He has chosen and given to His Son, Jesus Christ. And when the gospel, you see, is proclaimed, when the gospel is preached amongst you, well, He causes those who belong to Him to hear His voice and to submit, to yield, and to come to faith, that is, in His Son, Jesus Christ, to believe God's word in order that they might be saved. But it's the foundation, you see. The foundation of the Christian faith, you know, there's a lot of counterfeit. You have to understand that, you know. You got a lot of cults and sects, you know, and religions. Well, they fill the world today. Many of them, they'll tell you that they're Christians, they believe in Jesus, you know, but counterfeit, you know. But only the Word of God, you see. When you've got the Word of God for your foundation, only then, you see, will you be able to discern the true from the false. And those, of course, who hear my word, says Jesus, and keep my word. These, of course, are the true disciples, the true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can tell them by their fruit ye shall know them, says the Lord Jesus. If it bears bad fruit, I had a woman in Walsall yesterday. She's railing at me, she's cursing God's word, and telling me that she's a believer. She believes in God. And then the next minute, all kinds of profanity pouring out of her mouth. Vileness to the extreme, to the uttermost. And she says she believes in God. I told her she was a liar myself. You see, by their fruit ye shall know them. What comes out of a man's mouth, you know? How you behave, how you conduct yourself in God's world, that tells me what you are, what a person is. If they have the Word of God for their foundation, if that's the root, you know, if this is your world view, if you like, you know, the Word of God, well, the fruit will be good too, but of course, this is our rule for obedience. For God requires of you, not sacrifice, but obedience. But your first line of obedience today, of course, is to repent and believe the gospel. Seek ye the Lord. Where would you seek Him? In His Word, the Bible. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Because He won't always be found by you. Soon you'll be gone. Soon this world will be up in flames. And you'll all be gone to a lost eternity. No seeking Him then. Too late then. Now's the time. Now's the accepted time, says God. So seek the Lord while He may be found. call upon him while he is near. And of course, he comes very near to men and women when the gospel is being preached. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus that is, shall be saved. So call, you see, let the wicked forsake his way. This is the obedience, listen up, this is the obedience God requires of you. Let the wicked forsake his way. A man's way is the way a man lives, conducts himself in God's world, the way he thinks and the way he acts. Let the wicked forsake his wicked way, that is, evil way, unbelieving way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. It's what the Bible calls repentance, don't you know? It's a change of mind, you know. You cast out your mindset and you take God's word, you read and meditate upon God's word, and you start thinking God's thoughts after him. And before you know it, you find your mind being purified, you find your heart being cleansed, you find that you're rejecting the filthy, the unclean, the ungodly, the unholy, and you find yourself receiving that which is good and wholesome. Oh, I tell you, it changes life for the better. The Bible never made anybody worse. Who truly believed it, that is. Who truly believed it. I'm not talking about the perverters of it. So the Word of God's the rule of God. And of course, well, like I say, you can't go with your own heart, your own conscience, because, well, they're fallible, just like you. You see, the Bible, the Word of God, is infallible. It's faultless, you know. But of course, you can't say that about your heart, and you can't say that about your conscience. Conscience is a good thing, you know. Tells you when you're doing wrong, and tells you when you're doing right. But sometimes it can be ill-informed. Sometimes your conscience needs teaching, you know, from God's word to correct it, and your heart too. Because like I say, you go with your heart, well, you just go anywhere. You just do what you desire. And because of your natural state in which you're born, you know, in an unhealthy condition, conceived in sin, born in sin, and of course all you've got in your heart is what? A love for sin. A love for the uncleanness, a love for the foolish, a love for that which is destructive. You never desire, no desire for God, no will for God, no desire for what's good, for what's holy, for what's righteous, no desire. God has to give you those things. So you see, your heart, your conscience, no, don't go with them. So what do God you need to go with? The objective truth of God, written down for us, so that we don't forget it, so that we have it in every day and age, right to the very end of the age. And at the end of the age, the Bible tells us that the whole world as we know it now is going to be dissolved in fervent heat. It's gone up in flame. But the Word of God, says Jesus, shall abide forever. Forever. So you see, your heart, your conscience, they can deceive you. You need God's word, my friend. But you need to receive it. And you need to receive it in faith. Those who receive it, you see, and those who receive the living word of God, Jesus himself, he came to his own, but his own received him not, like many in England today. But to as many as received him, to those that believe on his name, he gives the power, authority to become children of God. Here you are, a child of wrath by nature. It's how you come into the world. It's how you're born, it's how you live, how you die. A child of wrath, under the wrath of God. But that's changed, you see. That changes with the reception of Jesus Christ. Your family status changes. Instead of being a child of wrath, a child of the devil, you become a child of God. Holy and acceptable to God. Through faith in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and reception of him. To as many, not everybody, but as many as received him, to them he gives the power to become children of God. So you see, this is our only supreme authority. There's none, it's above the United Nations, United States of Europe, the Prime Minister, the President of the USA, the Pope of Rome, the Chief of Mecca, whoever his name is. This is the supreme authority. The Word of God, there is nothing above it and there's nothing beyond it. And my dear friends, there cannot be two, there can only be one supreme authority. And this is it, the Word of God that is able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Faith and faith alone, I tell you, grace alone, by the grace of God alone, brought to faith alone, in Christ alone. Faith, you see, only saves, nothing else, faith in Jesus Christ. Not faith plus your works, as the Pope of Rome would tell you, that wicked Antichrist. No, my friends, faith alone, in Christ alone, brings salvation to a precious soul. This is the teaching, don't you know, of God's Word. Faith, not faith plus your conduct, but my friends, faith and faith alone. The Word of God, you see, these are they, says Jesus, which testify of me. Doesn't matter where you go in the Bible, you'll find Jesus. He's there to be found in every single book of the Bible, because he's the one supremely whom the Bible is about. Jesus, the revelation of God's mighty Son, who stepped down into this world. I only came 5 minutes here to preach. I only had a 5 minute drive in the car, and I was here to preach to you here in Newcastle. I just live up the road. But Jesus came all the way from heaven's glory into this world, and to walk in this world, be abused by the hands of wicked, cruel men, nailed to a cross to die, bear the wrath of God upon himself in order that sinners might be released from the wrath of God, that they might be saved through faith in his name. Believing. The Bible makes it very, very clear, my friends, that no flesh shall be justified in God's sight by the works of the flesh, by a man's own doing. Oh, nothing you can do that you can rectify yourself, make you right, get you out of that unholy condition, get you out of that sin nature. I mean, what man is there to change his nature? What religion, I ask you, can you point me to that would change a man's very nature? Bible poses a question to you. God, he says, can you change the spots on a leopard? You say, no, that's impossible. That's its natural state and condition. Can you change the skin of an Ethiopian? Can you make a black man white? Can you make a white man black? No, you see, that's impossible. That's his natural condition. Well, says God, how can you, who are accustomed quite naturally to doing evil, how could you do good? This is impossible. It's your nature. You're a natural born sinner, and so you quite naturally sin. Until God supernaturally changes your nature, gives you a new one, causes you, that is, by the preaching of his word, causes you to be born again. You must be, you see, you must be born again. No other way by which a man can see, perceive, understand the kingdom of God. No, you must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. In order to even begin to understand, perceive, that is, what the kingdom of God is and is about. But the Bible, you see, my friends, Jesus, the living Word, And the Bible, my friends, is your instruction manual to teach you these things of which, well, I've in a measure given to you today. A sinner by nature, damn worthy, on the road to perdition. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Well, one reason, because they don't seek it. They don't look for it. No, few there be that find it. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many multitudes go down that pathway. The masses of humanity, in their millions, tramping onwards, the damnation of hell, for the want of the grace of God, for the want of the salvation of God, for the want of the Son of God, the one who is to be found in God's Word. Search the Scripture, says Jesus. There's another command for you. Search the Scripture, the Word of God, and search them until you find Him, and call upon Him until you know Him, and give Him no rest until you do know Him, until you know. A piece of advice, if I may, only advice. You could take a copy of the Bible from me, go home and shut your door, nail it shut if you have to, and my friends, get on your knees and cry out to God. And don't get off them and don't stop until He comes to you, until you know that you've been pardoned, your sins are gone, until you know that you have eternal life in your soul. Until you know and feel the sense of God's smile upon you. Whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Whosoever believeth shall not perish. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, that is, shall be saved. Calling in faith as He calls you today. 2. Repent and believe the gospel in order that you might enter the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You need righteousness. You need holiness. You need that more than you need anything else. You need righteousness more than you need to breathe. Believe me. Because you stop breathing without righteousness, God's righteousness, you're lost. You're lost. You're damned. Damned, I tell you. Cursed for all eternity. So today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart, but you submit yourself to Him, who is altogether lovely, the fairest of 10,000, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, a lovely, lovely Son of God, who came into the world to save sinners. Maybe, who knows, maybe even you. You'd like a copy of God's Word, and read the words for yourself. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Newcastle. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Got it? Repent ye and believe the gospel. You'd like a copy of God's Word, Holy Scripture, New Testament in its entirety offered to you quite freely, no cost, no obligation to you. You'd like one. Feel free to come and ask for one. Gladly placed into your hands. May God bless you and have mercy, I say, upon your precious, never dying soul.